Okay. 1, 2. Hello. Right, we're recording. Fantastic. Some Bible. I suppose a good place to start would be just to pray. Amen. For me, definitely. Yeah, and for you, even more so, I think. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, just to be in your presence, Lord. And Lord, we just love you, Lord. We just love being in your presence. Lord, we just love hearing your word, Lord. And Father, we just invite you to speak into our hearts today, Lord. And Lord, I just want to do my best, Lord, just bringing this message. But Lord, above everything, Lord, it's you that's going to speak, Lord, through me, Lord. If I get words wrong, Lord, then, Lord, don't let people hear those words, Lord, but just let them hear your words. Let them hear what you want to speak into their hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to turn to begin with, to Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of my favourite scriptures in the Bible, because it kind of tells us where God's placed us, and really just his heart for us. And it's Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 10. I'll just give you a bit of time just to find it. It's in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Everyone there? Yeah? Good. Yeah. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, we were dead, but now we're alive. We've crossed over from death into life. And we are alive in Christ right now, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Nothing can change that fact as children of God. That's where you're at. That's your status in God's kingdom. You're alive and you're seated with him in heavenly places. And the title of this message this morning is Hard or Easy? Hard or easy? Hard or easy? And I'm really kind of, this has been going through my mind constantly. You know, it's like, God has not made it difficult for us. He has not made it difficult for us. It's like, we've made it hard. Sin has made it hard. The world has made it hard. But God has made it absolutely easy for us. Because he's seated us in heavenly places. We've inherited the whole of the kingdom. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and he's made all things possible. He's made it absolutely incredibly easy for us. But it's our perception sometimes that makes it hard for ourselves. Matthew 11, verse 30. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that's telling me that to live as Christ is potentially quite an easy thing to do. It's quite an easy experience when we get the perception through God's eyes, when we really get the revelation of just how easy it is to live for Christ and to inherit all that God's got for us. It should be easy. It should be easy as far as God's concerned, because He's made it easy for the hard work's been done. The hard work was done on the cross. Okay? That was some pretty tough work that Jesus went through so that we could actually come into the fullness of all his blessing and all our kingdom inheritance. But somehow we've made it hard. Religion's made it hard. Somehow in our thinking and in our intellect and in the way the world has taught us, we've made it hard when really it should be an easy thing. Just turn to Genesis chapter 18, and I'm just going to give you a simple example of the easiness of which God just does things. Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 to 15. And here we've got a 90-year-old woman, Sarah, and God's told her and her husband Abraham they're going to have a baby. Okay, that's ridiculous, isn't it? 90-year-olds having babies. But not according to God. It says this, it says, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now I want you to ask yourself that question about all things. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Because that's what God's saying in this situation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid. Because you would be, if you were like 90 years old and you're saying suddenly you're going to be in like childbearing again. That's pretty scary for a woman. But God says this is going to happen. Okay. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But God said, "You evil liar, you wicked, I'm going to bring fire." No, he didn't say that, he said, and I love this, it's like he said, "Yes, you did laugh." I mean, just get a revelation of the kind of relationship that you can have with God, even in your failings, even when you blow it, that's the kind of relationship. I mean, God's just saying, you know, she's lied, but God's just saying, yeah, you did laugh, you know. Come on, just, you know. That's the kind of relationship we can have with God, you know. It's not a heavy thing. It's not a hard thing to just have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, because although he's King, although he's like creator of the universe, although he's your Savior, he's also your best friend. And that, you know, we need that relationship and revelation of God our friend sometimes, you know. Because sometimes, you know, he is on a pedestal, but he's come down off the pedestal to be our friends as well. You know, although he's still on that place, you know, that we worship and we, and you know, he's that great authority. But same time, he's friend, you know. You know, we can praise the Lord. But I've been kind of just thinking on all these things. I think why is like religion and why, you know, why is man, and we've turned everything into these like big drawn out campaigns, haven't we? You know, we kind of like in our religion, we kind of like rant and rave, just trying to get something from God, when he's just trying to lay it into our hands, just trying to bless us, you know. And somehow we miss out on it because we think it can't be that easy. But it is that easy. It really is. It's easier. It's easier than the revelation that we can possibly imagine. You know, in Ephesians it said, immeasurably more than we can possibly imagine. That's what God wants to give us, immeasurably more. So whatever we imagine, however easy it could be for God to just bless us, it's even more than that. Okay, that's what God says. It's even more easy than the easy that we've got revelation of right now. It's even more easy than the revelation of the easiness that we're going to get in the future. It's just incredibly easy. Jesus wasn't striving to perform miracles, you know. And we shouldn't have to strive to actually just receive all of God's blessing into our life. It should be just something that just flows, and we just stand with open hands and just receive it. Now, there is a way that is hard, but that's the way that we've made it. Matthew 19, verse 23. And this was the in the parable of the rich young man. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And he's exposing something here. It's like, because of this man's riches, it was actually hard for him to enter in because... But God didn't make it that way. God made the way easy to come in. But his riches, his heart towards riches, had made it hard for him to enter in. But God didn't make it that... God made it easy. God made it easy. But he made it hard by making his idol his riches. And that can apply to any kind of idol, anything that kind of stands in our way between ourselves and God. That's what makes it a difficult way, makes it a hard way. But in fact, it's an incredibly easy way. And Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we have what it seems like from that scripture, it seems like this narrow way that it seems really hard to get into God's kingdom. But again, that narrow way is because that's the way we've made it. We've, in our perception, it seems like really difficult to get in because of the things that we had in our life. As you know, when we weren't Christians, it was like really hard to actually to believe, you know. And you probably experience that when you're just telling people about Jesus. It's kind of, you know, there's something in them that wants to know, but there's something holding them back. And that's the small gate, that's the narrow road, okay. And it's so much easier to just to follow the way of the world. That seems like a broad place just to stay in that place and not believe. But to actually believe in God seems hard to actually just break through. There's something holding people back into coming into that place, and you probably remember that before you really believed. But notice it says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Again, you can read that and think, well, it just that seems a hard thing, like, but what it's saying is the entrance is hard for people because of the sin, because of the sin that weighs them down, because of all the problems and the troubles in this world. But it leads to life. Once you're through, we should be in life. We shouldn't stay in that narrow, constricted place of trying to get to life, because we've come through the gateway, we've come through the roadway into life. And life is true life in God, is our inheritance as the children of God. So we should be living life, we should be in a place of joy and experience the incredible easiness and rest and peace of God in our everyday living. We shouldn't be like striving, but that's what religion taught us. It taught us to keep kind of staying on that narrow road, and somehow out there in the future we would eventually find this life's out there ahead of us. No, you have it now, you've got it now. Life, God's life is for you right now. It was the moment you were born again, you came into life. Life, as we said, you were dead in your transgressions, but now you're in life. Life in more abundance. That's what we have now. That's our inheritance. So take hold of it. Take hold of it. Don't take this lie anymore that somehow we've got to strive and keep striving to get all the things that God's got for us, because we haven't. It's a done deal. And, you know, it's let your will be done on earth as in heaven. We can have it now. We can have it now. The moment we were born again, you can have everything that God wanted for you to have. Right then, at that moment, the transaction took place and you came into eternal life at that moment. You don't have to wait till heaven to get all of these things. You don't have to live the rest of your life with a ticket to heaven and not inherit all these things. And that's why it says only a few find it, because not many people have that revelation that they can have all that now. So they live the life instead of just living the life, they spend their whole life trying to find the life, but they've actually got the life and they've been deceived. If you turn to Luke chapter 14. Verses 15 to 24. And this is the parable of the great banquet. And it says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready. Everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Hallelujah. So this invitation was easy to receive. Just come to the feast at the banquet. And yet people just refused to come in. But it was an easy invitation. It was just come. But somehow in there, "Well, I can't do that because I've got all this to do. And this is more important." You know, but God made it incredibly easy for everyone to come in. But some people just said, "Oh, no." I mean, does that sound familiar? You know, that's what we're dealing with right now. Just as we just evangelize and just share this message, this truth. You know, it's just, the invitation is just come. Just come. It's as easy as that. Just come. The Bible says, the kindness of God leads to repentance. But religion has turned that round to repentance leads to the kindness of God. Let's turn it round. Repentance leads to the kindness of God. They've turned it round, so somehow it's like it's become a hard thing. You know, it's like, you know, you've got to repent and then God will accept you. No, God accepts you. Come just as you are. And I tell you, when you come, you will repent, because you will repent and believe, because you will just have a revelation of God's kindness and God's love for you. That you'll just come and you think, "Wow, you know, I don't deserve this, but God's love has made me worthy, and He's just pouring out His love into me. And wow, you know, I've just got to leave that stuff behind." I mean, it's like, if you go out through this door, you leave this room behind, you know, and you go into another room, don't you? You know, so you leave stuff behind. But see, like, religion can't handle that because it's too easy. It's too kind. It's too generous. You know, God's too kind, God's too generous, He can't handle that. So it's like, so we've got to try and create put something in the small print there. So, well, no, you've got to leave all this behind and then come, and then you'll be worthy. No, all that has been nailed to the cross. Just come as you are, and God's kindness, God's generosity will lead to repentance in your life. Amen. You know, something about separation makes it hard to come back. You know, when man first fell in the garden and there was that separation, it became really hard for man to come back because of the separation. It's like, you know, when a married couple split up, right? I think a married couple are like just really in love, you know, at some point in their life, you know, when at the beginning there's flowers and chocolates and all this kind of stuff, you know. But then, once that separation has taken place, it becomes incredibly hard for them to get back together, for that reconciliation to take place, just because of that separation. But if they'd made the effort just before that point of separation, it's so much easier, isn't it? Because it's like, you can just like talk through your differences, your problems, and things can come back together. But once that separation, that actual separation has taken place, it becomes so much harder. And that's how it was with sin. Sin made it really hard for us to come back to God. But God made it really easy for us through what Christ has done on the cross. Amen. See, it's the world that makes it hard. The world is just like, tries to make things so hard for us, so complicated, through like intellect, through striving, just through things making things so much more difficult than they really need to be. Anyone had experience of that? What the world does, it's just like, why is everything just so complicated these days? I just can't fathom it at all. I mean, we just make things so hard for ourselves at work. It's just like everything becomes so complicated. You know, we have all these like systems and, you know, it's just, and you phone someone up, you know, to report something, and then you get a whole list of press 1, press 2, press 3, press 4, press 1, and you've got to go through it all, and then you're trying to work out which is one you're supposed to be in, and then you're not quite sure, and then it goes through it again, and then you press 1, and then it's press 1 if this, press 2 if that, press, you press another one, press 2, and then it starts ringing, and then it's like, starts playing, all our operators are busy right now, listen to some really annoying music while you wait for half an hour. And then you finally get through to someone and you tell them, it's a, oh no, you're actually through to the wrong department, and then you get transferred to another, you know what I mean? It's like, I just want to talk to someone, you know. But that's the way the world, it's always, you know, trying to make things difficult. But that's not God's way. You know, God makes everything so simple for us. It's like, I had this thought, you know, it's like, you know, one of these like desert island experiences. And like God was saying, no, if you had to take one book with you, you know, what would you take on a desert? I said, God, the Bible, of course. He said, all right then, okay. He said, well, if you had to take the complete works of Matthew Henry, okay, or the children's book of Bible stories with you, which one would you take? I thought, wow, yeah, children's book of Bible stories, because, you know, one thing you really need is simple revelation, amen? Amen, simple revelation. Nothing against Matthew Henry, but let's keep it simple. I mean, there's just so many books about trying to interpret the Bible these days. It's just like, man, you could fill the earth with these books. But the Bible actually says you could fill books just with books written about what Jesus did. Not trying to interpret what he did, just what he did. You know, it's like, wow, praise the Lord. So, yeah, just simplicity. And oh, it's just like, I mean, I just get really frustrated. I really get frustrated with the way that the world does things. Say, I mean, one thing that really, really frustrates me, and it's probably the same for you, is packaging. Packaging, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but packaging is just so frustrating, isn't it? It's like, you know, nothing ever used to be packaged. You used to get in a brown paper bag and that was it. Now everything has to be like so tightly wrapped and concealed to try and cause the maximum amount of frustration and stress into your lives as possible. It's like, if you have these like fresh chicken comes in this like plastic container with a plastic cellophane, which when you try to peel off, it just peels round the edges, and then it's just the bits left on the top, which you can't peel off. The only way you can get in is like get a knife and stab it, isn't it? Which you really want to do at this point, don't you? You want to get a knife and just start stabbing it, because it's like, it's ridiculous. I bought some bin bags, right? Bought some bin bags, and it's nothing. What can be more simple than a bin bag? You know, you just put it in your bin, you fill it up and you take it out. I mean, it's quite simple, yeah? So I bought these bin bags, so I opened up one end, put it in the bin, filled it up the bin. And of course, you never quite empty it when it's half full. You actually wait until it's absolutely jam-packed, don't you? And you've pressed it right down. So I went through all that. I went to open up. But what I hadn't realised, these bin bags had two openings, one at either end, for some reason. So, but you only find this out when it's too late. So I did the usual thing. I tried to wrestle the bag out of the bin, and I just went, whoa, like this. And I was ending up with this like empty, like big black sock, wet, dripping, smelly black plastic sock, and all the rubbish was just still crammed in the bin. Now that annoys me. That really frustrates me. That's it. And I mean, jam jars. Why are jam jars now so much more difficult to open? They never used to be that hard. I mean, as a man, the best thing ever is like when your wife says, can you open the jam jar for me? I'm obviously too weak to open it, so this is a job for a man. So you get this now, but it's getting really hard, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, this is really humiliating, I can't get so much. So, but I use the old, like, you know, sweaty hands excuse. So I've got a tea towel on. It still wouldn't open, you know. And then, like Rachel say, I'll give it back to me. I'll try. No way. No way. No. That is not going to happen in a million years. So as a guy now, you have to take it out to the shed. You put it in a vise. You get the plumber's wrench. And if you still can't open it, you smash it with a hammer. You pick the glass out and you put it in a nice bowl, you know. But things are just getting so hard all the time. The worst packaging ever. The worst packaging ever is like Christmas time. Now, if you've got kids, you'll know about this. You'll know about this, won't you, Chris? It's like packaging for kids' toys. It's in this kind of solid, moulded plastic, which looks like... It looks fantastic, doesn't it? You can see all the toys in there. It looks like there should be just a little hinge that you just open up, and it just flies open, and there's the toys. You can just pull them out. But, as you know, it's not like that, is it? It's actually completely, totally sealed shut. So the only way to get into it is with a pair of scissors, okay? Now, here lies another problem, is that the plastic is moulded in lots of curves. So when you try and stab it with the scissors fly off in, like, all different directions. So then you have to, like, really go... And, of course, your kids are watching this, you know, you look like some sort of psycho trying to get into this thing. So you're trying to stab this thing to get open. When you finally stab your way through it, you've then got to try and cut it with the scissors. But all that does is reveal the most sharpest plastic known to the entire universe. This plastic is just so sharp that as you're cutting it, it's like cutting your hands and your fingers, and it's like, I could go on, but this is what I'm saying. This is the way the world operates. It's trying to frustrate you. It's trying to make things as hard as possible for you just to get the simple blessings of this life. You know, I mean, there's guys who are like on... you know, six-figure salaries, making life and death situations, like surgeons and people, the head of finance in London, you know, real stressful jobs, high-pressure jobs, going home and then just getting absolutely stressed out, just trying to get the little plastic seal off milk bottles, you know, and like just attacking it with knives. The world's gone crazy. So I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to believe for... Do you believe in easy? What do you want? Do you want hard? Hard or easy? Who's voting for hard? Hey, hands up, anyone that wants hard? No? Anyone that wants easy? Yay! Easy! 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 Anyone remember the wrestling? Well, I'm looking at the young ones. The young ones don't remember. Anyone remember? Wrestling on a Saturday afternoon. Everyone used to watch the wrestling on a Saturday afternoon. And there was like Mick McManus, wasn't there? There was Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. And there used to be like lots of little old ladies around doing the knitting in the audience watching this. But then what would happen was like Big Daddy would get Giant Haystacks on the floor, he'd do a few belly flops on top of him, and then he'd hold him down, and everyone would start going, easy, easy, easy. Well, that's not going to be our chant from now on. Amen. We're going to start going, you can't, easy, easy. Let's do it over sickness. Easy, 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 easy. Let's do it over sin. Easy, easy, easy. Is that recording? It is. Let's go and do it to the everyone that's watching on the internet. Come on. Easy, 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 easy. Have you got the message? Hallelujah. You need to watch a bit more wrestling. You're obviously not into it at all, man. It's like, yeah, God has made it just so easy for us. And, like, the more we get that revelation, you know, the more we'll just see, like, you know, God just doing amazing things in our lives. You know, because it's not a hard thing. It's not a hard thing, is it? You know, we shouldn't get into all this, like, strife and struggle and all that kind of stuff. Just another 70 pages to go. Barry, we're getting there. See, because we've crossed over, you know, in that first scripture I read from Ephesians, we've crossed over from death into life. We're now in life, you know, we're now in life. And, you know, we should be in a place of peace and rest. We should be enjoying our Christian life. I mean, you know, if we're not enjoying our Christian life, who's going to really want it, to be honest? You know, if we're all stressed and strive and we're miserable, and who's going to want that? You know, I mean, come on. When the day I got saved, right, this is absolutely true. When the day I got saved, I actually believed, right, I actually believed this, that the whole world could be saved. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. I still believe that. I believe the whole... I'm actually believing for an empty hell. Amen. I'm believing for, you know, the devil will be there with all his angels, but I'm believing that there'll be no person in hell. Does that mean I'm into universalism? No, because I still believe in hell. But I'm believing, because that's God's heart. God's heart was for every man, every woman, every person to be saved. So you've got to believe that. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that even the most evil people, somehow, even like Hitler and Osama bin Laden and Chris de Burr, you know, all these... No, I'm just joking there. So. Hitler, you know, even like the most evil people, you know, the very last seconds of their lives, they turn to God. You know, because who are we to judge? We can't judge for anyone to be in hell. We don't know, do we? We don't know. So we've got to believe with all our hearts, because that's God's heart, for every single person. We've got to be believing for that and really believing for it. I'm willing to believe that. Amen. I'm willing to believe that. My nan used to say that, you know, when it was like, we were struggling or something, the aunt would just have a nice cup of tea and everything would be all right. I'm willing to believe that as well. I'm willing to believe that. Why not? God can do it, you know. God can just say, you know, hey, even a cup of cold water. If there's a cup of cold water, why not a cup of tea, eh? Why not, eh? Why not? Let's believe it. Amen. I'm going to say, well, I'm just going to have a cup of tea and I'm going to be healed and I'm going to be set free. Hallelujah. Because it was never God's design. God never designed for it to be hard for us. I mean, if you look at the Garden of Eden, I mean, the job Adam has, I mean, come on. You just don't get jobs like that these days, do you? You know what I mean? I mean, let's face it, there's the most perfect garden in the whole world. It had to be, didn't it? So there wouldn't be any weeds, okay? So there's no weeding. The soil would have been absolutely perfect. It would have been absolutely 100% full of nutrients all the time. So no digging. So what's left to do but kind of just enjoy yourself? Yeah? Just enjoy the garden. And he said, you can eat from... I mean, there was loads and loads... I don't know how many trees were in the garden, but there was loads and loads. We tend to think there's just two trees, don't we? Religion just said there's two trees. There's a good tree and a bad tree. But there was loads of trees in there for him to enjoy. God said to him, go and enjoy, you know, eat of any tree in the garden. Just except one tree, that was all. Just one tree. That tree will kill you, but you've got all this. So you've got all this blessing, all these trees here. And just one tree will actually be a curse to you, you know. So, but all these trees here is just blessing. Somehow he's went and ate the wrong tree. I don't know how he did that. He had the best job in the world just to enjoy God's creation. I mean, he even got to name all the animals. I mean, what a laugh that would have been. You know. It's a good job he didn't give that job to me, because we'd have some pretty strange sounding animals just now. So, like Brian the Snail. So God made it incredibly easy for us. So what are we going to choose? Easy. Do you want easy? Do you really want easy? Because if you get easy, you're going to get really blessed. You're going to enjoy his healing. You're going to enjoy his provision. You're going to enjoy his deliverance. You're going to enjoy his presence. You're going to enjoy just sharing. You test me with people, just telling people, because sometimes that's become a hard thing, hasn't it? Just telling people about Jesus. Why has that become a hard thing instead of just being an easy thing? You know, why has just been blessing people just become a hard thing for us? Why is just believing for all of his promise to be yes and amen? Why has that become a hard thing instead of an easy thing? So what are we going to choose? Easy. 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 Come on, let's do it. Easy. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a time of worship, but yeah, let's just, as we're just kind of worshipping now, all these things that we thought were incredibly hard, let's just lift up our hands as we're worshipping, and let's just hold all these things into God's perception, and say, give me a new perception of all these things, Lord. Give me a new perception. Show me just how easy it is to see deliverance, to see healing, to see God's provision, just to be manifest in my life in every possible way. You willing to do that? Yeah, amen. I want to do that because, man, I'm fed up of everything being hard and difficult, and, you know, I just want everything to be easy, to be simple and easy, as God designed it to be. Amen. Not what religion told me, not what my own intellect told me, not what my own reasoning told me, not what my own, even my own logic told me, but just to come into that place of just really, truly believing Him and just believing and receiving. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.